The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try.
Second to silence. Intel Report from Public Broadcasting Network, your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky, also known as the Boy Wonder, joined by Dr. Patrick Slattery, host of National Bugle Radio, here every day at 1 p.m. Central, a.k.a. the Caped Crusader. This is your dynamic duo bringing you the news and everything that's relevant in the world today. Packed first hour, just chock-a-block full of interesting national and international articles, and some of the greatest callers in the world. That's you guys, RBN audience, my classy ones. And I've got an interesting one here pulled up that we were talking about off air. One of the Capitol Police apparently is thumbing through the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Is that book totally fake? Is that the oligarchical Jewish powers would never write down what they're going to do? Would they? What do you make of this book? Let's start it off like that, Patrick. Give me your impression.
Well, what is important? Who wrote it or what it says? I don't know who wrote it. The Jews say that it was some anti-Semite in the employee of the Tsar of Russia. Okay, let's say it was. What does it say? And I spent about an hour and a half recently listening to about the first half of that as an audio book translated into modern English. And, you know, it sounds very similar to what's going on today. And the thought that over 100 years ago, somebody, regardless of who it was, regardless of whether they were sincerely producing it as a hoax, or whether it was a piece of literature, and that was a literary technique, or what. The fact is, the descriptions in there pertain to today. And this was written over 100 years ago. So whoever wrote it was a pretty keen observer of what was going on and what's likely to happen. I don't care who wrote it. Doesn't matter. But it's...
You know, that's... Yeah. That's a very valid point. It's kind of like when we discuss anything, people want to get out in the weeds and swim around in the weeds on 9/11 and, you know, going as far as holograms. But, I mean, what we got to look at is what did it accomplish? And it got us in the Middle East for 21 years. And, you know, two aircraft took down three buildings and we went to war with two countries that had nothing to do with it. And the country that did have something to do with it, Saudi Arabia, we're allies with. I mean, when you look at all the anomalies, it's just crazy. You know, same thing here is that you can look at the book, you can look at the content, and you can see it playing out, regardless of who wrote it. I seriously, personally, I don't think that a Jew wrote it. I think it was written in early Soviet Union, and it was someone making some very astute observations, because you got to figure at the time, the World Jewish Congress with Theodore Herzl was very big at the time. And Herzl even saying things like, you know, talking about world wars, you know, years before World War I kicked off. So, I mean, just the World Jewish Congress in and of itself shows you that there was a an elite group of Jews that met about global issues and about what's best for the Jewish people. So it, you know, like you said, the contents of it is what really matters. And watching it play out today, and when you read through it, I read it years ago, but it still sends chills up my spine when I think about how it's played out. And did you have something before we hit that article?
No, let's hit the article.
So, Capitol police officer suspended for having a copy of the Protocols of Zion on his desk. I pulled this off the Stormer with the very astute journalist Andrew Anglin penning this article. And he reads, he writes, they are really taking this witch hunt of the police and armed forces seriously. You're not even allowed to read certain books. And then he quotes Reuters. The Reuters article reads, the U.S. Capitol Police suspended an officer after anti-Semitic reading material was discovered near his work area, the department said on Monday. The Washington Post, which first reported the story, said a congressional aide saw a printed copy of the protocols of the meetings of the learned elders of Zion at a checkpoint inside the entrance of a congressional office building. The tract, originally produced in the early 20th century, is described by the Anti-Defamation League as a classic in paranoid racist literature. The officer is suspended pending an internal investigation. We take all allegations of inappropriate behavior seriously. Once this matter was brought to my attention, I immediately ordered the officer to be suspended until the Office of Professional Responsibility can thoroughly investigate. This was according to an acting Capitol Police Chief named Yogananda Pittman in his statement. So back to Anglin's comments from Andrew Anglin. We are in the middle of a full-on Bolshevik revolution. They are hunting down everyone. The biggest part of it is to create a pandemic of paranoia. However, if you're not allowed to have this book on your desk, what books are you allowed to have on your desk? If you're not allowed to have the book on your desk, are you allowed to have it in your car? In your home? Officers who want to keep their jobs are now left thinking, quote, should I go through my bookshelf and burn every book that could possibly be considered associated with right-wing thought? People at other professions are doing the same. What if you invite a colleague over for dinner and he browses through your bookshelf in your den and finds you own a book that contains ideas that have been banned? He could have a picture of it with his phone. He could take a picture of it, his phone, and he could get you fired with that picture. Whenever the protocols are mentioned, I feel the need to point out that they are real, or at least they are true. The information in the book is demonstrably factual. They are not actually minutes of a meeting of the Jews. The book is written as fiction. But the information behind it is obviously true. There is no way someone could have predicted all of this stuff 100 years ago if there wasn't some real information behind the book. It is written in a silly way, sort of like a comic book, which makes it open for mockery. But the reason it was written that way is that it was intended to be distributed to peasants. Adolf Hitler actually didn't like the book and told people in the party to stop distributing it because it was too silly. But silly or not, it contains deep truths, some of which Hitler himself would not live to see. You can read it yourself and imagine that this was written over 100 years ago in Russia and try to figure out how someone would know all of this stuff. Regardless, even if you're not against the Jews, it's an interesting read. This entire concept that certain forms of information are totally off limits and you can't read the information without getting fired is completely diabolical and simply shows how little faith the system has in its own position. Those are Andrew's words, and I quoted the entire article. I want to mention, these are my comments, I found the Learned Elders of Zion to be very similar to reading 1984. What do you make of that, Patrick? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I guess I'd never thought of it that way, because 1984 is an obvious novel. This isn't written exactly as a novel, but...
Well, I guess, let me clarify. What I'm saying is, when I read The Protocols, which was a shorter read, I know history and what's going on, I'm like, wow, somebody actually like made some observations and then wrote a fictional account of what they thought would happen based on what was going on at the time. And isn't that what Orwell did? I mean, man, it's almost prophetic, some of the stuff that Orwell wrote. And that's all he did. That's all he did was he just observed what's going on. He observed historically what went on in the Soviet Union with the Bolsheviks. And then he knew about, you know, he speculated on how technology would intertwine with the oligarchs and how they would rule over the people. That's where I was going with that. Same.
Well, you know, I look over at my bookshelf. I've got some books there that don't necessarily reflect my beliefs. I've got a copy of the Quran, right? I've got who's that big fat lady? Michael Moore. I've got Michael Moore's one of his books.
Oh yeah, and that chick is disgusting.
I know Michael Moore's disgusting, but he looks like an old lady. But at any rate, I've got books by him. I've got all sorts of books up there that don't necessarily reflect, but I still want to read because I want to know what people are saying, what people are thinking about. Das Kapital or Communist Manifesto, those are big deal books that shaped the modern world, and it's good to know what's in them. So whatever this, I mean, if this guy reads the Protocol of Zion, what's wrong with that? Doesn't even prove anything about his own belief systems. But good questions. If you can't read it at work, can you read it on your lunch break in your car? Can you have it at your home? Where does this stop? And that's a very legitimate question.
Well, with virus, because everything is virus related, COVID-19 and Zoom meetings, mm-hmm. They could very well get a look at you inside of your home and see books that are foreboding. But
and see other things that are foreboding. Ask Jeffrey Toobin of CNN.
Exactly, and you make a good point. I mean, you know, I have books. I have the Book of Mormon, and I'm a Christian, a traditional Christian, which completely is against Mormonism. But I read it so that I know, I'll research, and I can speak intelligently on that religion. As well as books about Jehovah's Witness and all of the different cults that are out there. And I do have books on Islam. And so, no, you're right. People can have a multitude of books. For what purpose? For researching everything. I mean, you can't have too many books. You can't have too many sources. And this is just paranoia. This is what it looks like to me, is that, the Jewish-dominated elites are very paranoid. And anybody at all that has any type of research material that could expose them, they're going to come down on. And as Andrew did point out in the article, this is all part of coming down on the military and the police, because our government fears the people. They fear the people, and they even more fear the military and the police, who happen to be considerably more right-wing than the general public. And so I think that's why we see this, as we mentioned in the first hour, the purge of the military, the bringing in of queers, transgenders, and pregnant females. And they want to weaken our military because they're afraid of them. So that's what I'm taking from it.
Yeah. I mean, there is this ongoing purge of people who own guns or have guns, whether it's police, whether it's military, whether it's regular people. They want to make sure that... That we don't have, they're trying to keep our people out of the military. And it'll take a while, but it's not good. And it reminds me of that scene from the movie Car Wash in 1976, where the only two whites who worked at the car wash were talking to each other. He said, "You ever notice how the only people who enter the army anymore are blacks?" He said, we're perfectly situated, because when the blacks take over, having worked at the car wash, we'll be in a great shape to be token whites.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, we got a couple of callers. Shall we seg you into calling?
Let's do that.
Let's see. We have George from California. George, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Hello, George. Calling all Georges. Mike said he's not sure what's up. George, if you can hear us, we can't hear you, guy. And we're going to move on to the next caller. You figure out your technical difficulties, and we'll try to bring you back on, or you can call back, my friend. Going on to the next caller, Charles from St. Petersburg, Florida. St. Petersburg, wow. We got a St. Petersburg, yeah. Florida. Yeah, what's on your mind, sir?
Hey. Yeah, Jeremy, glad to talk to you and to Dr. Patrick Slattery, too. Yeah, have you ever read Instauration magazine? They have it collected online, I think. The guy, what's his name, the Trump phenomenon, the host of that, he said one time, he told me on one of his broadcasts that he got all of it a Xerox and put up on one of the websites. I don't know which one. You know, I can't think of his name. The Trump phenomenon.
Yeah, let's see. I'm gonna actually look it up. Patrick, yeah, do you know exactly?
Yeah, the Instauration.
Are you talking about James Kelso?
Wilmot Robertson. Yeah, pardon?
James Kelso is the host of the Trump phenomenon.
Yeah, Kelso, James Kelso. Yeah, he one time I called in and he said he had gotten it. He admired the whole magazine. He collected all the issues and put them up on some website of his. I don't know if it's any, but yeah, well, Wilmot Robertson wrote about Orwell. He said Orwell knew about the Jews, and on his deathbed, he was talking with this journalist. I can't think of his name. The one that exposed the Holodomor in the Ukraine. It was a good friend of his. And anyway, if you can ever get the collection of Instauration of Wilmot Robertson, really has a really, really good in-depth articles on, especially on Jews. And
We'll have to look that up. That's what I like about taking callers, is sometimes I hear things that I haven't heard before, and I can look them up and incorporate them in future shows.
Yeah, he had a lot of articles. You ever heard of him, Wilmot Robertson? I met him. I met he and his wife before he died. And he lived in the Atlantic in Florida, and over by Canaveral, yeah. Cape Canaveral.
Yeah,
and
I've not
a friend of
heard of him. Yeah. No, I've not
and,
heard of
him. Aldous Huxley, you know, Brave New World.
Yeah.
He wrote things about Jews. He said, for instance, I investigated him. He said the Jews should have been lost in the desert sort of 40 years, 40 centuries. There was
oh, go
was,
on. Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, just it's too bad. Just Moses was with him for 40 years. Should have been 40 centuries. It's you know, what's his name? Aldous Huxley.
Yeah. Well, hey, we appreciate your call, my friend. We got a break coming up and a couple more callers.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. We'll be back on the other side with the National Intel Report with your guest host, Jeremy and Patrick.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country,
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus.
$500 gets you two Commander memberships at Front Sight. $500 for two Commander memberships. Give one to whomever you would like.
Welcome back to the National Intel Report on a Thursday night, March 18th, post St. Patty's Day with your St. Patty's host, Jeremy from Kentucky and Patrick Slattery. And we're just rolling through the calls like good hosts should. I think we have George back. George had dropped earlier, and now we have him back. George, welcome to the show.
Hello, I was cut off. I apologize. I think it was in my end. But listen, I've been listening to this radio station for quite a while, and I'm just wondering, what kind of a threat are the Jews to American society? Can you explain that to me?
Well, do you want to take that?
Sure, I'll take it.
All right.
Well, so what you have is an elite that is, I say, dominated by Jews because even if they're not a majority of the elite, they're the ones that have the cohesion, and they're basically the guiding force for it. And there's things like some of these foreign wars, well, most of these foreign wars lately, the wars in the Middle East are at the instigation of this Jewish elite. But more than that,
okay, I'll go with that.
More than that,
what's the big threat to America with transgenders?
I'm not done with the Jews, though. I just wanted to say...
Well, I'm convinced. You got me in the Jews. Okay with that. You got me. Okay. You got this whole...
Well, the main thing is the population replacement that they've got going on.
Hey, let me bust in real quick, guys. George, Patrick is answering your question. So if you're a troll, we will pot you down.
I'm not a troll. Oh, I'm just really curious because you spend a good portion of your time lambasting and denigrating these Jews.
Pot him down, Mike. George, if you're really curious, we're giving you an answer. We don't hate the Jews. But if you're calling to troll in and just mess up the show, then, you know, this is what's going to happen. Now, Patrick is going to answer your question. We're not going to hang up on you because we want to know, we want to legit have a conversation with you. But let Patrick is in the middle of answering your question, and then you went to transgenders. That's indicative of a troll. And we have been schooled in trolls 101, 102, and 103. So don't mess with us. I'm going to turn it back to Patrick, who you rudely interrupted. You can stay on the line, and when Patrick's done with his answer, you can come back with a retort. That's how a debate works. Patrick, go ahead.
Okay, and I was going to say, perhaps the main thing, and it's very obvious right now, is the Jewish-led effort to replace our population. So you've got the founding stock of this country, the white European Americans who created a society that everybody wants to come to, they are being replaced. I mean, you compare us now to the census of 1960, 60 years ago. The population of whites has barely increased. Blacks has more than doubled. But the main thing is you've got the immigrants, people who immigrated since then and their offspring, are well over 100 million people. And so you've got this ongoing replacement of the United States. And if you don't think this was Jewish-led, you've got to read the immigration chapter in Kevin McDonald's book, where he has it very well documented. You have, you had in the 1920s resistance to the more restrictive Immigration Act. But then in that 40 years in between, this nonstop effort by Jews, people like Jacob Javits and others, who were pushing for throwing the gates open. Jacob Javits wrote a editorial in the New York Times saying, "Open the gates." And this happened in 1965. They got this law through, but it was through by stealth, where they were saying it's not going to alter the demographic balance of the United States, and it certainly has. And now they're saying, "Well, it's good. It's good that it's going to turn whites into a majority. That's good. That's the new thing." This was a Jewish project. So I'll stop it there.
And before we bring George back on, because I hope we didn't hang up on you, George. If you're not there, it's because you hung up. We just muted you so we could talk. But well, hold on. Let me throw one more thing in. On top of that, you can read Stephen Steinlight from the Center of Immigration Studies. And in 2001, in October, he published a paper about the Jewish stake in America's changing demography. And Dr. Steinlight actually told us in very plain words that the Jewish establishment does push immigration. And he was making a case, hey, we need to back off of this, because if we flood America with too many Muslims and third worlders that are not loyal to the Jews and not loyal to American values, we're going to mess up a good thing. We're going to have anti-Semitic people in power, sort of like Ilhan Omar, as we see today. And so the Steinlight, you can read, if you read thoroughly that paper, it's fascinating what the Jews actually admit to. He openly admits that Jews do push, the immigration issue. So we got a break. Stay on, George, because I don't want to be rude to you. And I want you to speak your piece. And we're going to come back on the other side and let George speak here on National Intel Report.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Guest hosts, Jeremy from Kentucky and Dr. Patrick Slattery. We're talking to George. And George, we gave our answer, and we don't want to be rude, but we wanted to get our information out there. We're going to give you a couple of minutes to reply, and you just go ahead, guy. And
I don't think you're rude. I just think you're kind of misdirected. I would ask you, are you opposed to the Jews because of a religious preference or because of what's perceived of as an ethnic orientation? And that I leave out as
Neither one. I'm opposed to Jewish power because, the Jews themselves have admitted that they've opened the door of third world immigration through the Hebrew Aid Society, Hebrew Immigration Aid Society. And because over a third of our government is comprised of people with dual allegiance to Israel and U.S., which really is a single allegiance. And I'm also opposed to the fact that Jews openly brag about controlling Hollywood, like in the book An Empire of Their Own. Also, Barbara Lerner Specter, who is a Jewish lady who brags about changing Europe through immigration. I'm opposed to the actions that they do. I don't hate any Jew. They can worship and wear their yarmulke and you know, whatever religion they want. This is America. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, and just speaking for myself, I don't have any animosity towards them on a personal level. What I oppose is the political behavior, because the political behavior of Jews as a group, the political group behavior, is pretty much diametrically opposed to the interests of the founding stock of this country. And my position is that if we are able to speak openly, we can take back the country and run it in the interests of everybody, as opposed to being run not just in the interests of Jews, but run specifically against the interests of white people. And you can't look at what's going on today without saying that the government has it out for white people. You look at much of what was in this COVID relief bill, which is explicitly, debt forgiveness for farmers, as long as they're not white, free farms to black people. I mean, there's all of this stuff that's gotten so explicit. And when you look at the origin, this originates in one sector or another of the Jewish community, whether it's, whether it's in academia, which, they, six out of the eight Ivy League schools, for instance, have Jewish presidents. None of them have white American presidents. That's it. I don't care about the religion. I don't care about the ethnicity, but I do care about their group behavior.
Okay, so if you talked about the founding stock of this country, and that I assume you mean white or Anglo-Saxon Christians, right?
Yeah, and then over the years, if you're talking about by 1960, you had later immigrants who had more or less assimilated in. Jews didn't really assimilate. In certain ways, they did, but if you look at their political behavior, they never did.
Okay, so let's talk about white Anglo-Saxon Christians. Basically, Christians are people who support, believe, advocate for Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, a Christian is a follower.
You remember that Jesus was a Jew. And that Christians believe that Jesus,
Judah.
Jesus was a Jew. He's a rabbi.
No, I didn't say probably. I said Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, which is of Israel.
Well,
so go ahead.
He was a Jew. He was a practicing rabbi. Okay. So now we have this group of founding white stock, white Americans, whoever they are, believing in Christianity and calling Christ God, right? God is Christ. Jesus is Christ. On your religious preferences, Jesus is one of the three persons in Christ, and Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a son of God, which would make God a Jew, correct?
No, incorrect.
Okay, well,
God the Father. Let me just.
God the Father is a white Christian.
I've studied the Bible for decades. Let me just break in.
Sure.
God the Father is spirit. As John, the Gospel of John indicates, that tells us that God the Father is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He does not have an ethnicity. And God is comprised of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, long before the Jews were ever created, according to the Bible, Jesus, who is the Son of God, existed long before the Jews were ever created. It's just that God chose this one tribe of Judah in Israel out of all of the tribes of the world for his son to come through. See, Jesus existed before the earth was created. Now, hold on. I'm coming to a point. Hold on. And yes, Jesus was born through the tribe of Judah. And if you remember, his own people rejected him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so Israel, the Jews, rejected Christ, and they were punished because of that. They were thrown out of their land. And so what you're seeing now are the Jewish people trying to take their land back without going through God, without going through the Son, Jesus Christ. And so to make a case that simply because Jesus was born into the tribe of Judah, therefore we must approve of everything that Jews do, that's fallacy. Because do I approve?
I didn't say that.
Do I approve that the Jews crucified Jesus? No, I do not approve. So, I mean, you're kind of making a bad argument there. I'm simply observing group. And we don't have a lot of time. We don't have a lot of time. I've went way too deep on religion. Cool. I urge you. Let me tell you this, George. This is John Stadtmuller's show. He doesn't get into religious stuff. I've went way too far as it is into religion.
Right.
But call into my show in plain sight and 9 p.m. Central Time. You can call in tomorrow night and we'll discuss further and get into the guts of this. But I want to move on to the next caller because you're getting into areas that John wouldn't normally get into, and I'm being very gracious and trying to host his show and cover relevant topics.
You've been gracious to me. You've been gracious to me, but not very gracious to Jewish people. I don't understand that. I really don't.
They've not been gracious. The Jewish elite have not been gracious to us. Call into my show, and I will entertain your arguments. Okay. We're getting way too far afield. I appreciate
you so much.
I appreciate your call. Let's move on. Okay. All right. Let's go on to Anonymous. Anonymous, welcome to the show, my mysterious guest.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. First of all, words are things. That's very important. When you say things, they mean things. And they can come to fruition. The second thing is, on 9/11, Larry Silverstein bought the towers. The towers, nobody would touch them. They were full of asbestos, and they had to be gutted. That meant buku money, because you know how big the towers were. I mean, they were the tallest thing in New York. So there was a theft or a missing $3 billion, and they were searching for where that money went. They were following the trail of where it had been wired to when the planes hit the tower that day. There was a woman that looked out her window and saw a van, and there were men with a camera or a video camera up there, and then she saw the plane hit the tower, and they were dancing around, high-fiving each other, dancing all over. She called the police. They arrested them. They were Jewish. The next thing that same morning, the police stopped a van that was in the Lincoln Tunnel, and when they stopped it, it was full of bombs. These people that were in the van claimed that they were Arabs, but they were Jewish. Now, our country had, George Bush was reading the goat book, and it was upside down, so who knows what he was really reading or if he was reading at all. But they sent these individuals back to Israel. They didn't prosecute them, and they laid it on the Arabs, which, how convenient, as the towers turned into dust. What fell from the sky was their information, their driver's license and stuff, after everything else turned to dust. Was it an inside job? Yeah, it was. And to go without looking, it's like, what is it that they have on us that we won't do anything to them? We can't go into their embassy. Their embassy, if you take a Geiger counter down there, it just goes off the charts. You can't go in, but you're standing outside, and it's ticking off like crazy. They have something on us that we can't do anything. Maybe they own our country. And in the Bible, Jesus says in John 8:44 that you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry your father's desires. He was the murderer from the beginning. Not holding the truth from there is not the truth in him. They worship Satan. He was cast out. This is his planet. We are in a battle. And weird enough, in Oklahoma, they almost put Satan on our Capitol. I was surprised when I went down there. Well, I heard it on only one station. And that was the only time I heard it. And I went down to the Capitol the very next day and talked to my representatives and said, look, you're not going to. And there was nobody else down there to demonstrate this. It's like, we aren't going to put him down here, are you? Well, no, they said as long as they worked there, they weren't, thank God. And where did he go? He went to Detroit. And I mentioned it, and this girl in Detroit said that the statue came there. It's 14 feet high, has a little girl on one side and a little boy on the other. He's sitting in a chair. And it's Satan. It's like, I don't know what the statue's supposed to mean other than he's going to eat maybe the boy and the girl, because he does not like any humans. He hates us.
Well, let me say this, Anonymous, and if you want to get into deep religious talk, I do that on my show a lot, in plain sight.
I don't do that at all. I just know that, you know, Dan Spengola has gone into this in depth.
Well, let me just say that John has very graciously allowed myself and Patrick to host his show. I want to try to keep it on the normal talking points. I don't want to get too deep in religion, but if you want to call my show, I will.
The Arabs keep being blamed for this when the Arabs had nothing to do with it.
Let me mention, what you're talking about is a very, very good documentary, and it's 9/11 Missing Links. And it links the Israeli Mossad with the CIA and Saudi Arabia to 9/11. It's a very solid documentary. If you can't get it on YouTube, go to BitChute, 9/11 Missing Links, and that will pull it all together. As far as the religious aspects, if you want to call my show, 9 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday, we can get into some religious aspects. But right now, I'm going to try to move on.
Okay.
We do have other callers.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, Anonymous. Call my show. Look forward to it. Okay, moving on. We have Kevin from West Virginia. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hello, guys. I had called into this show last night and talked to Mr. John, and I'm trying to get a quite understanding of Zionism. I don't understand what it actually is besides a political movement. That's the only quite understanding that I really understand what it is. And I recently ran across the book, Protocols of the Elders of Zion. And at first I thought this was a fake book until I reread it a second time and was like, hey, the stuff that's in this book is really going on around us. Is there really, and it's weird because it does seem like the people that are running the show are Jewish, and I don't hate Jewish people, but I'm going to call it out for what it is. It seems like that there's the banking elite, they're all Jewish, and I don't hate Jewish people. I'm blind. I can't see, so I can't see race either. And I like how people throw it up at me. But my questions are, what is Zionism? Why does Judaism have a link to Saturn? And if anybody knows what Saturn actually is or the mythology behind Saturn, people would understand that there's something really crazy going on here. I was just wondering about your thoughts on that.
Okay, Zionism basically is the belief, and this is from the early 20th century, late 19th century, and Theodore Herzl of the World Jewish Congress, if you look him up, you can get some more insights, is the idea that the Jewish people believe that they have rights to the land of Israel, which is called, historically Palestine. And in 1917, with the Balfour Declaration, wealthy Jewish elites, the Rothschilds, joined forces with the British government, Lord Balfour, and they made an agreement. You get America into World War One, and we'll give the Jews Palestine. And that's Zionism. Zionism is that the Jews believe they have a right to the land. But if you're talking religiously, you know, they were kicked out of the land because of their rejection of Jesus Christ, who, as the previous caller pointed out, previous two callers, was of the tribe of Judah. And so the Jews are trying to get their land back without going through God. That's the bottom line. And they're doing it through world banking and global wars and elitists dominating the governments of majority of Western governments. That's Zionism in a nutshell. We do have a lot of callers. Go ahead, Kevin.
Is the book the Elders, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, is this their playbook? Were they really dumb enough to put this out in black and white on paper?
I don't think a Jew wrote that. I think what it was some person in the early 20th century made some observations. He knew about the World Jewish Congress. He knew about Theodor Herzl. And he knew about some of the things that they had planned. And it was an expose. It was like 1984, right? Orwell gathered data from his current age, and he made a prediction of what was to come. And that's exactly what I think the Elders of Zion is. And it's very eerily and spine-chillingly coming to pass. So there's something there. Whoever made that prediction was spot on. I don't think
Absolutely.
It was a Jew.
Thank you for your time, guys. I don't want to take any more time up. You have a great day.
I appreciate your call. Thank you. And we just got full of callers. We're not going to get to you all, but Mike has graciously allowed us to skip the break. And we're going to go on to the next caller and try to get through as many as we can. Paul from New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hello, fellas.
Hey.
It was interesting listening to George. Personally, I don't mind the religious discussions. But I think the Christians are in an awkward position. You know what I mean? How to maintain their moralism and universalism. And yet, let's be honest, we got to deal with the Jewish ethnocentrists. That's the problem. And it's not their religion. It's the ethnicity. I've spoken to Jews. They've told me that. They said, it's not about the religion. And by the way, that's exactly what Kevin McDonald talks about in his series of books, The Culture Critique. It is an ethnicity, and they're very tribal. They're very ethnocentric. They want to expand the borders of Israel. They want what's known as Eretz Israel. They want to extend it all the way out, and that's why they're wrecking Syria now. They're coveting that land. They want their Lebensraum. And it's really disgusting listening to some of these callers. We know who it is. That they're kind of elderly and they haven't figured this out yet. Like, dude, are you reading a book? Can't figure it out? You can't count them? I mean, just the overrepresentation in the government. Who is it, Anthony Blinken now running the State Department? As soon as he gets in with Biden, they already start bombing Syria and causing trouble in Ukraine? You can't see that? It's obvious what they're up to.
I try to be gracious with our callers. Not everybody is at the level where they see things the way they are.
I understand, but sometimes really the ignorant have to be chastised. And you have to put them in a place and say, listen, pal, sit back and just listen to those who have read the books, right? Suggest the books to read, and then have them call back after they read it. I mean, it's kind of a disgrace when you listen to, guys who are senior citizens, and they're calling up, and they say, you in your 60s, you haven't figured it out? You ever read a book? I mean, there is in a sense, you should also have to do required reading just to call in the network, in my opinion. Really. Jeremy? That's a good idea. Give out reading assignments to these people.
Well, part of this network, RBN, and what I love about it is freedom of speech. And callers can call in, and if they're not up to speed on everything, They can ask questions or they can voice their opinions, and we can give our opinions based on facts, and we can come to, you know, they can agree or disagree. So, I mean, not all callers are at the level that some other callers are. And, I want to be gracious, but you know, yeah, Paul, I appreciate the call, and I know exactly what you're saying. And I want this to be an area where we talk openly about these things, because I don't want any type of violence. I don't want any type of hostility. And if we openly talk about it, we can avoid that, hopefully.
Oh, well, we're definitely not advocating violence until we get ourselves an army.
No.
Right, exactly. There's no point until you get the army. But I mean, ultimately, that's what the goal should be, is we need to wrest political power out of the hands of the Zionists, and ultimately have political power in the hands of the nationalists. And in a sense, I'm not advocating, you know, like a national socialism, really, in a sense, because I believe in it's all for separate nations. I'm a universal nationalist. I like to see the Chinese be nationalists. I want the Russians to be nationalists. I want the Americans to be nationalists. And by the way, I don't even mind if the Israelis are nationalists. But the point is, the Israeli political objectives and their nationalist goals aren't America's goals. They're supposed to be separate. And the problem is the two have become conflated because of the dual allegiance, Israeli operatives like Anthony Blinken and the whole just about cabinet of the Biden administration, and some of them in the Trump administration, who've been basically steering American foreign policy to suit a foreign nation's interests. And the lady who called about 9/11 before, she was dead on. The problem is they did 9/11. Israel should be nuked. It should be nuked. The same way people advocated nuking Afghanistan back on September 12th. And I heard it all on the New York talk shows that day, right? The same way I would advocate Israel should be nuked for what they did on 9/11. They perpetrated it. They've never been held accountable for it. And we should work towards some kind of retaliation, punishment for the Israeli operatives who killed 3,000 Americans on that day.
Well,
on that note, Jeremy, thank you. What? Go ahead.
Well, I know your heart. I know your heart, Paul, and I can't advocate nuking anybody. Patrick, come in with your comments, and then we've got...
Yeah, Well, there's two things. One is I don't advocate nuking anybody. I don't want to wage war on anybody. I want to just take back control of our society without necessarily being vengeful. Just take back control, be the grown-ups, and you know, that's what I'd say. But here's one other thing, Paul. Could you imagine how in the United States government do you think you could have an order to could even discuss the possibility of nuking Israel? And I'm not in favor of nuking Israel, but how do you think that could even work?
Well, if Donald Trump was a true nationalist, it would already happen, because the goal would have been to fill a coterie of military men, make sure they all know that, open up the CIA files on who did 9/11.
He couldn't even get his own military to protect the White House. How do you think he'd get his own military to nuke Israel?
And that's a good point. We just have a couple of seconds left. Apologies to the callers that didn't get on. Call my show and call Patrick's show, National Bugle and In Plain Sight. And we're out of here for tonight. Thanks a lot, folks. Have a great night. Stay classy.
TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
You're a-
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.